Amen. Well, good morning. You can be seated. And my name is Pastor Dell, one of the pastors here on the church. And we are continuing in our series in 2 Timothy, Training for Life. And so you may want to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4. We'll be there in a second. I do want to remind you kind of the big ideas of the series. The idea has been that as Christians in our life, we don't simply just try harder. We actually can train for life. We can train for capacity. We can build capacities that we don't currently have, spiritual muscles that enable us to enter the kinds of life that we really desire with God. And so we have a definition here up here of training. You can see some of the things that are training practices. We've been talking about several training contexts throughout the series. So in other words, say, I want to train for life. I don't want to just try. I want to train. Here are three contexts that, you know, we've been reiterating. We need to gather, like we're doing this morning, to learn, to grow, to be encouraged, to worship, to be inspired, to have our vision recast. Welcome to training this Sunday morning. Secondly, we go deeper, though. We group together. So that's why Jeannie took some time this morning to tell you some of the different life stages and opportunities to get smaller, to group in smaller ways, because you need to train in those contexts, right? You need a smaller group of connection to be able to really train in your spiritual life. And then we don't make this church... It's not an end in itself. We exist to extend and to bless, through the love of God, our community. So in some ways, we exist and we train for others, right? And so the way that you train in that realm of your life is to figure out how to use your time, talents, and resources to extend the love of God practically in all kinds of ways. And there's many opportunities to do that here. So those are the training contexts. Everybody with me? Now, we're in 2 Timothy 4, and if you'll notice just kind of in your Bibles there, that's the last chapter in this letter. So we're at the end of the letter. We're at the end of the series. This will be the last talk for now on this book of the Bible. And so I want to give you the big idea before we jump into this last chapter. And the big idea here in a picture is this idea of passing the torch, keeping the flame. Now, you know, the Olympics come around every 4 years? And at least the Summer Games. And there's a ritual that has developed over time of opening ceremonies where they light the torch. You guys familiar with that? That big cauldron, and there's a big celebration, and athletes from all over the world come, and it's the beginning of the games. Well, that flame, symbolically, is sort of an eternal flame. It's been being passed down and kept alive between every Olympics, right? And sort of goes back to the beginning of the games and human history, sort of the idea that it unites the whole human race, right, around these sporting activities. And in the days leading right up to the opening ceremonies, ordinary people like you and me get a chance sometimes to carry the torch. Have you guys seen that a little bit on the... And so, you know, one runner will run a little stretch across the host country, and then they'll pass it to someone else who will run a little stretch, and we'll pass it to someone else. And eventually, on the opening of the game, someone gets to run into the stadium, right, with all the people and the TV cameras and the torch lights, and the game begins. Okay, if you're a runner carrying the torch, you have one job. It's to keep the flame alive. Don't let the flame go out, right? Well, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul is at the end of his race. And he's passing the torch, the flame, the sacred flame, to Timothy. And as we'll see here in a minute, to us. And we have one job. Don't let the flame go out. Carry the torch. Pass the flame. You know, here's our key verse. I'm going to be reading off my phone here because I'm kind of blind. We have seat Bibles, okay? If you've got the eyes for it, they're right there in your seat, okay? But here is the key verses here in 6 through 9. Paul says, the time of my death is near. Paul is languishing, actually, in a Roman prison. So this is pretty harsh. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness. And the prize is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his Christ appearing. Right? This is amazing. These are the last words that Paul probably wrote in his life. Kind of sobering. This is a man speaking with the clarity and perspective that only comes at the very end on death's door, when everything sort of clarifies and comes into perspective. And what he wants to say to you and me through this letter is, will the flame of God's life still burn in you all the way to the end of your life? Right? And as we jump into this chapter, what we're going to find is that 2 Timothy 4 gives us some warnings about at least four major things that can put out your flame. Okay? So we want to be mindful of those and know how to keep the flame alive. All right? Now, let's start reading here in verse 1, 2 Timothy 4. We'll read the first four verses and look at the first extinguisher of the flame. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and they will chase after myths. Now, Paul is telling Timothy about the first thing that could put out the flame. And he notes it here that Timothy is to run his race through times that are favorable and through times that are not. You see that? When times are good and when times are bad. How many of you know that in a race, conditions change? How many of you know that in life, not all seasons are the same? Right? There are so many obstacles, so many headwinds that come to every human life. My grandfather used to tell me, son, as human beings, we have to learn everything. Isn't that true? We have to learn everything. We pretty much go through, in the course of a life, just about everything. Okay? And some seasons of our lives, the wind is at our back. Things are going well. We have reason for optimism, circumstantially, right? And we would say, this is a good season. How you doing? This is a great season. Okay? But there are also other seasons, right, of our life. Seasons of doubt. Seasons of disillusionment. Seasons that are hard. Seasons of suffering. Seasons of boredom. Seasons of loneliness. Now listen, it gets worse. Because none of us in here are getting any younger. Okay? So these seasons of life involve everything. They involve our bodies. They involve our minds. They involve our relationships, right? They involve circumstance. We have the weather, right? We have wars and rumors of wars. We have, on and on. We have our health. I had a guy tell me, when I was younger, I gave my life to the Lord. Gave all myself to the Lord. I just didn't know he was going to take me up on it one body part at a time. Okay, that's his perspective now as he gets older. So we have seasons. We have obstacles. We have headwinds. We have favorable times. We have times that are not favorable. We also live in a culture. Okay, the culture is the water that you swim in. The culture itself, the environment that we live in, has a prevailing wind. Would you agree with that? Times change. Seasons change. Not every season is easy to live in or live through or walk with God in. What would you say the times and seasons that we live in now? Okay. If you're going to float, what I was also told, dead fish float downstream. Right? So if you're just floating with the current, it's easy. But it doesn't necessarily take you in the right direction. Would you agree with that? The direction that you want to go or the direction that God has for your life. So Paul's just being a wise older man telling a younger guy, listen, if you're going to run the race and keep the flame, you're going to have to run with clarity and with intentionality. There's going to be a cost. It's not just going to happen. You have to know why it is that you run. Okay, you need uncommon clarity for your race. So I'm concerned about that for you this morning as we read this chapter. Do you know why you run? Because life will test you and it will strip away everything that is not core to a why. You follow what I'm saying? It will strip you. Do you know why you run? Now, Paul gives us here this admonition in verse 5, Timothy, in light of the difficulty, you should keep what? Somebody read it to me. You should keep what? Verse 5, a clear mind. You need to know your why. You need to not be afraid of suffering because the seasons are going to change, right? It's going to go up and down. You need to keep your life anchored, it says here, in the good news. Now here's the incredible thing about the essential why of God's vision for why you run. Okay, it's going to blow your mind. You were made in his image, and he wants you to be his friend. He made you from love, and he made you for his love. He wants you to find your way back home to a close relationship, a union, a participation, just like it was in the beginning. He wants you to live your life with him. This, if you read the very last chapter of the Bible to see where all this is going, it's going to another garden city, like at the beginning, where God is God and his people are his. And he lives with them. So this is the vision. From the beginning of it to the very end, God is not just forgiving you of your sins. He is recreating you for what you were designed to be as a human being. Fully alive. Fully connected. Fully one with your Creator. This is the goal of your life. It is worth all the ups and downs. It is worth running through every difficulty. This is the incredible good news of Jesus Christ, who not only comes to forgive you of your lostness and your waywardness, but to bring you home to God. This is your why. Do you have clarity in your life about why you run? So essential to keep the flame alive. Okay? Secondly, this. Paul warns Timothy about the risk of depletion. Depletion. All right? He actually says in verse 6, as for me, okay, he's in a jail cell, my life has been already poured out. Poured out. It's been spent. I left it all on the track. I didn't leave anything in the tank. I poured my life out for this clarity of vision that I had. Okay, and it's already, you know, I'm on my death's doorbed. It's been poured out. All right, and you need to know, Timothy, all you runners, one job, keep the flame. Running takes energy, right? Listen, when you run, you get tired, right? Runners call it hitting the wall. You ever heard that? Anybody run in here? Okay, God bless you. I only run when I'm being chased. This is a metaphor. This is a metaphor. When you run, and see, when you hit the wall, it's this overwhelming experience of feeling like there is no way I can run one more step. Often comes in the middle of the race. If you're going to run to the finish, you've got to run through times when you feel like you can't run. I was talking to a guy in the first service. He said, I was in a marathon and I hit the wall. I said, did you stop? He said, no, but I was looking for a car to hit me. I was trying to figure out, can I get partially injured so that I can tell all of my friends I didn't quit? I was hit by a car. Okay, this is how intense, okay, hitting the wall can be. Now listen, if you don't know, like if you think coming to Jesus is like all about Hallmark endings and like, I don't know, floating with angels on clouds and eating M&Ms. When you go through the ups and downs of the realities of the Christian life and the seasons, on top of feeling like you can't run anymore, you'll think that you're the one that's broken and strange. You'll start to think in your own head, everybody else seems to have it together. I'm the only one that wants to quit. I'm the only one with doubts. Okay? This is a double portion of hard. And this is why Paul himself, like if you actually read the letters, he doesn't actually say it's going to be easy all the time. He actually says, not only do you hit the wall sometimes, we hit the wall. You want to hear a description of hitting the wall spiritually? This is what Paul wrote about his experience in, you know, partway through his race. He said, we think you ought to know the kind of trouble that we actually had. We were crushed. We were overwhelmed. We actually thought, in despair, that this finally was more than that we could even endure, right? We weren't going to make it. We despaired even of our own lives. We didn't think we were going to live. But as a result, we actually learned something. We actually learned that in the race, through depletion, when you run out of all your energy and you can't take another step, that there's another source of energy. That you can actually, you know, actually through depletion, you actually learn to rely on a different source of hope and energy, and that's actually God himself. We actually learned through depletion that we have an energy that's even bigger still than the worst. Okay? Do you know that? Because Peter says, if you don't, you're going to be surprised, okay, at the fiery trials. And you're going to think, oh, This is strange. This is like unprecedented. This is impossible. I'm broken. I have to quit. You follow what I'm saying? Don't be surprised, he's saying. This is part of the, in other words, if you run the race, God wants to teach you reliance. That means the only way you're going to learn reliance is you're going to have to go through periods where you actually have to rely. Follow what I'm saying? It's not like you're doing it wrong. You're doing it right. You follow what I'm saying? You need to know that. You need to know that. Do you know that? Okay? Now, the key here is that we need vision. We need vision. I want you to see the vision that Paul used. This is how he adapted his race in depletion. Look at verse 8. Now the prize waits me, the crown of righteousness. The prize is not just for me at the end. It's for all. It's for you too. Who, what does it say there? Who eagerly look forward to what? To the end. Paul's saying, listen, did you know that when you're running through difficulty and depletion, part of what you have to do is not just look right here? Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. You look up into the future, into the promises, into the hope that's coming, and you bring the future back, right? Right into your present. So now you're looking at this, you're looking at this, but you're also looking at what's coming, and you're going, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. Okay? I've got promises. I've got hope. I've got God taking me and the whole world this direction. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to rely. Follow what I'm saying? I've spoken about this other times, but like we use our imagination, our ability to visualize more than just right here. We have this ability. And we bring eternity back through our faith into the present. And we live on the future faith, future hope. Follow what I'm saying? This is a thing. Like you can do it. So here's my question. Do you visualize the finish line as a part of your training practice? Man, I'm telling you, look at church history. People that have gone through everything, they learned together how to visualize the hope. And they brought it back and they persevered through all kinds of things. Okay? It's part of the training plan. It's part of how you move through depletion. Okay, now I got to keep going. Distraction. Okay, number three, distraction. Part of what Paul just simply says is, listen, I finished the course, I finished the race. Now, here, this is very simple. I've remained faithful to it. Faithfulness. Runners have to stay on the course to win a race. Would you agree with me? If you want to win a race, you've got to stay on the course. We just had a bunch of Olympians, really fast, really good runners. They were in a qualifying race a couple months ago in Atlanta, and they were running, they were winning, and they followed the media truck right off the course. And now they're having to appeal to the Olympics to let them in because they're really good runners who did not have bad intention, but they went off the course. Okay, here's what I want to say to you. It's not just bad intentions that take you off the course. Now, sometimes we step off the course. A lot of us get distracted. You might say this morning, like, when I really think about it, the main thing's not the main thing. Because my life is full of, and I'm off the course. Like, I followed the media truck right off the course. And you know what those runners had to do? They had to turn around. That's called repentance. They just had to go back. And they had to get back on the course. Okay, so what I want to say to you here is, there are no shortcuts in a race. You need faithfulness. The Christian journey is a long obedience in the same direction. Okay, so you just got to stay on the course. So some of you this morning, the question is God present in my life? Like, I believe that you probably believe that. You wouldn't be here, that he is. Or is he the priority of your life? That's a different question, isn't it? Could we say it this way? God can be present in a person's life without being the priority. Can we say it that way? Okay, so some of you, you're saying, hey, I don't want the flame to go out. Has distraction of any kind replaced your devotion? If you say, well, yeah, it kind of has. Keep the flame alive. Keep the flame alive. Come back. Come back. Get back on the course. Right? Sometimes throughout this, you got to get a coach. Say, man, got to do some adaptation, right? It's a different season. You know, I'm running it like I'm in my 20s, and I'm not anymore. I'm running it like, and I need to adapt. I need to have a conversation about what it looks like to, in this season of the race, prioritize. All right? Fourth, this is the last one. This is a big one, guys. I feel like I need to tell you. It's right in this text. Your flame can go out through disappointment with people. I'm just going to tell you. I want you to look at verse 10. Timothy, you know, it's actually verse 9. Timothy, come. Please come. Because Timothy, Demas left. He deserted me. If you get to 14, he actually says, and Alexander, that's another case, like he actually harmed me. And then I was in front of the judge in verse 16, and guess what? I showed up and everybody abandoned me. So here's Paul in his race, and he's going, you know, one of the things that can put your flame out is when people completely desert you. When they harm you, and when they abandon you. I wish I didn't have to say this. I wish that every person that said, I follow Jesus, was going to be faithful like Jesus. But that's not true, is it? I have a buddy who told me, Del, I'm fighting for my marriage. I said, great, that's awesome. Yeah, 30-some years, awesome. Fighting for my marriage. But I got to tell you, it's hard. And I got married with 12 other couples in a small group when I was in my 20s. And only two of us are still married. Okay? Now, I'm not judging the other. If you're divorced, you're in here, you've had divorce. That's not to shame you. You know, we get back on the race. Okay? That's a different topic. But what I'm going to say is, does that make it harder or easier for my friend? When he's upset at his life or just feeling like it's hard. Makes it harder, doesn't it? Okay? Some of us, I got to say this. I don't want to say it, but I got to say it. We have a lot of our top Christian leaders, like our best good Christian exemplars, that turn out not to be good. At least for seasons. Right? And they crash out. Like if you've been in it any length of time, all over the place. Every single time the headline comes across, does that make it harder or easier? Yeah, because people desert. People harm. Okay, you got to get this. If you want to keep the flame alive, you got to get this. Everybody's going to have a Demas moment. It is hard. It's destabilizing. It's disappointing to lose running partners. Now, here's the question. Are you going to let pain and people determine your race? Paul's saying to Timothy, listen, you need to know about the desertions and the harm and the abandonment because I'm passing the torch to you. Okay, and you need to know something about this experience because you need perspective if you want to run. Okay, don't listen. I've seen a lot of people lose their faith over this. So Paul's addressing it really directly. Aren't you glad he did? It's his last letter. But look what he says, and look what he says in verse 17. No. Is it 17? Yeah. I can't even read my phone. But the Lord stood with me. But the Lord stood with me and he gave me strength. Do you see that? Everybody deserted. Everybody abandoned. Some people harmed. But guess who didn't? The Lord stood with me, and he gave me strength so that I can continue to run, so my flame didn't go out. Okay, now here's the question. We're going to end here. Is your hope this morning in your race, is it in Christ, like we sang about earlier, or is it in people? That's the question. It's easy to get it in people. There's some good people. I'm not saying there's not. But is your hope in Christ or in people? Right? Because if you want to keep the flame, we are one job, keep the flame. If you want to keep the flame burning, you've got to do these things. You've got to pursue union, friendship, closeness, Christ-likeness. What word do you want to use? Becoming as the goal of your life with clarity. You need to keep your eyes on the prize. You need to look at eternity and bring it back every single day. Know what you're running to. You need to prioritize God, not just pacify him. And here's the thing. You need to trust Christ and love people in that order. If you trust people and love Christ, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to get disillusioned. Okay? Friends, there is a fight. There is a race. There is a crown. Let's keep running. Let's keep the flame. All right? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this incredible letter, for the way it trains us for life. Thank you for this final chapter, these final words of Paul. We all pray with Paul, with our eyes on the prize, keep the flame burning to the end of our lives. Some of you in here are saying, hey, I don't even know if I've lit the flame yet. And this would be a great day to put your torch in the eternal flame of God through talking to him right now and putting your trust. Get in the race. Lord, this is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now listen.